All right, so we're going to open up our word in just a few moments. But before that, I want to introduce our special guest speaker for today. Some of you may remember him, and this is our Pastor Mike Slater, and he's going to be giving the word for us today. Pastor Mike Slater is the founder of Stretcher Bear Ministry. And with that, I'm going to invite Pastor Mike Slater up, and he's going to be giving our word. Let's give him a round of applause.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be back here. What's interesting, I think half of you I've never met. There's a lot of faces here that are different. Not in a bad way, just different. I have not met you, okay? But, huh? Yeah, I'm sorry, okay? You never sit in the front. That's the, you know.
I love that.
Yeah, and you're the only one in the row. Boy. But in some of you, I've met from Carol, I think Jesse back there, Fred. I spent a lot of time here at this church when Albert was on sabbatical and preached many times. And I feel when they asked me to come back, Johnny, I'm coming back to people that I have appreciated. And I prayed for many of you, okay? And I know Albert and Johnny really good, and I wish you guys all the best in this transition. And to be able to come back maybe a couple other times would be great and make some new friends, okay? And I'm gonna win you over that many of you, maybe next time I preach, you might just be sitting up here closer saying, hey, I want a better seat, okay? So, but I wanna share a message that means a lot to me. It challenges me almost every year, this message. It's something I came up with years and years ago, okay? And as I talk with you this morning, almost try to get in your head, like we're at a restaurant, maybe having some Mexican food, or Marie Callender's having a piece of pie, and we're just sort of talking. And this is a message where you've got to do some thinking, really some thinking. And if you do, I guarantee you'll never forget this message. I guarantee you. It will change your life. But you have to be honest with the message and the questions as I set it up, okay? Now, let me take my time. I'm going to show you where we're going to go and how I'm going to set this up. But I want to start with something, and the message title is, what do you value the most? What do you value the most? What is worth the most to you? Now, some of you might think, say, excuse me, Pastor Mark, do you mean like monetarily wise? Or what do you value the most? What is worth the most to you? Okay? I want you to start thinking, and you're going to have to come up with five things that you value the most. So start, listen to me, but think too. You could do a couple things at the same time, okay? Now, let me set it up. There's something happening on TV which I love. My family loves. I love the Olympics. I really, it doesn't matter if it's the summer or the Winter Olympics. I think it's cool to watch it. I mean, there's every emotion. You die for their younger kids, whether they fall or get the gold. I was watching a snowboarder guy yesterday. The American, he was like in 11th place. He had one run left, and he just did the run of his life and wound up with the gold. From 11th to the gold. And I remember as we were watching it, I told my wife, man, we got no chance in this at all. There's like 11, 12 people left. The whole family was there. And they showed them cheering, yay, you know, their son did it, and that. I love the Olympics. I really do. It doesn't matter if it's winter, summer, I enjoy it. And I've known a lot about the Olympics. When I was pastoring in Hacienda Heights for around 10 years, I had a young girl, high school girl, was on the Olympics and won gold medal in swimming, in the relay, in the 100 yard. I mean, she was in my youth group there at that church. And the dedication, what they do in training, you can't imagine. I can't imagine the consistency of the training. It isn't, well, maybe I'll train a couple days this week or one day this week and they'll do three next week. No, the consistency every day for years to reach this goal. And if you would have asked her back there, what is something of real value and worth you making the Olympics? And she proved it. She would get up 4:30 or 5 in the morning, high school kid, sophomore, okay? Go swim, then go work out with weights, 2-3 hours before school began. After school, back in the pool and all that. Sacrificed dating, different things. But you would ask her, how do you get up 5 days, 5 out of 7 days, every week at 4:30 in the morning? And you tell me a sophomore in high school wants to get up at 4:30 in the morning. Adult at 50 wants to get up at 4:30 every day and go in that cold water or hit that gym. Every week. You ask her, how could you do it? She says, it's worth it. This is my goal. And if you asked her, she was sitting here, what is of value to you? And I asked you to think of five things. One thing she would say, making the Olympic team. And if you study her, you would say, it's true. Okay? Now I'll tell you another story. When I was in Hacienda Heights there, I was in my late 30s. I got a car. I got to know this one guy, and he was selling this one car. He had it for a couple of years, a 280Z, Datsun 280Z. And if you know it or not, it's a sports car. It's a beautiful car. He had it for around a year and a half, 2 years. This guy loved cars. I mean, if you can go above loving a car, he did it. You never ate in his car. You never drank water, okay? Every night when he came home, this is true, I'm not making it up, he dusted off in his garage before he went in the house to see his family, whatever. When he washed it, he washed the car every week. No, he didn't even go to car wash. He had 7 different brushes for washing the car, besides the sponge and all that. One was really little to get inside the little mag wheel things. A little one where you put the air in, the little nozzle thing, okay, to get around there and there. I kid you not, okay? If it rained, every night when he come home, he wipe it down. Immaculate car. I mean, when I bought it, was 2 years old, you thought it was right off the showroom. When I bought it from him, he became a friend, I bought it from him. He gave me the pink slip and all that. He gave me the 7 brushes. And everything else, he wrote in detail how to clean the car. I go, okay. I agreed with him verbally. A couple times I come home, go, okay, I just sort of wipe it down a little bit. No problem. Then it was less wiping and less this. And it was a neat car, but I brought a bottle of water in it, which if he thought and knew I did that, he probably thought I committed a sin that would be unforgiven to put a bottle of water in this car. But to him, when he owned it, and his next car was the same thing, if you ask him, what is the value and worth to you? One of his 5 things would have been my car. Whatever it is, 280Z or a Chevy, whatever his car. Now, if you ask me 5 things, that 280Z, that wasn't in those 5 things. It was a nice car. I didn't treat it lousy, but it wasn't. I never used those brushes. I tried once where the air thing is there. Okay. I could hardly see the dirt if there was any in there. Number two, if I can hardly see it, you can't see it. Why am I on my knees wasting my effort and my time to clean around a little air thing? Now, if he answered the question, he'd probably lecture me for an hour why you do that, okay? But it was value of worth. See, as I set this up, every one of us here, there's things we see as value and worth. Okay? The fires that went through. Okay? Especially up in Santa Barbara County. You imagine you're told to evacuate. And what do you take? Okay? What's of value and worth? Okay? The movie, TV show, This Is Us, some of you watch that. And okay, don't cry, okay? Okay, shh. Okay, okay. And when Jack runs back into the house to get the dog and the pictures and all that, but the dog, because the dog means so much to his daughter and his daughter means so much to him, is it worth it? What value? Yes. Even to risk my life. Okay, you got it? Now, what are the five things you value the most? Think. Don't say Mount Lyle. What are the five things you value the most? And everyone could come up with 5 to 10. If you're having a hard time, I'll help you at the end how to get to your five. Now, some of you have the five, some of you might only have two, whatever. Okay, my next question is, why did you put those as your five? Mine is probably different than yours. Dan has the 280Z or a car. You might not have a car, but he has a car, and he's sitting right next to you. Why does he have these five? Why do you have those five? Why did you choose those? Did anyone twist your arm? Were you taught that? Is it heritage? Or whatever. Now stay with me, and then I'm going to open the scripture. I got to really set this up. Now, you got these five things, okay? You think they're the ones worth the most to you, whatever, monetarily wise, whatever. Now, next question. Does your life really depict that those five things are really worth something to you? Do you prove it in your life? Are you just stating something because these are things we should state? Okay. But does your life really say this is true? If you would have met this man, Dan, and his 280Z car and all that, been around him for a week or so, and then he sat right here, and he showed you, your first name is?
James.
James. He showed you that five list, and on there was a 280Z car. And I could ask you, do you think he's telling the truth on that car? You would go, yeah. Well, why'd you say yeah? Not because he's just on the list. Man, I've been to his house. You should see the brushes he has. You should see how he talks about it. You should see the time. Okay, it was true. Now, of your five things that you put down, does your life really depict that those are true value and worth? It's easy to put something on the list, friends. It's easy to say something. But is it true? Okay? Next week is a holiday, Valentine's Day. Of all the holidays, it's one of the ones I don't like that much. Okay? I really don't. And you ask my wife, she'll tell you, yeah, he doesn't like it that much. Why don't I like it that much? On February 14th, this is the day for a lot of people where, okay, I'm going to go buy the flowers and the candy and the gift, and I'm going to get a card, and I'm taking you to dinner. We're going to hug and kiss and all that. I'm going to tell you the best things and sliced bread and all that. And then hopefully I remember our anniversary, you know, I'm talking if you're married, or next Valentine's Day. Have you ever noticed something about Valentine's cards? You can go there today, CVS. Study most Valentine's cards. Most of them are apologetic. They are. Go right now. Most of the Valentine's cards are apologetic. tell you that you've been sliced bread and it was the happiest day of my life when I met you. But today I want to tell you I'm so thankful for you and all that. Most are apologetic. Why? Because a lot of us don't do it. We might say something. Think, oh yeah, there's nothing more important than my wife. She's the best thing since sliced bread. Do you live it, Mike Slater? Do you breathe it? Does she feel that way? Well, she should. She's my wife. I got the ring on. No. Do you live it? Do you breathe it? See, it's easy to put the five things down, but do you do it? Okay? When I was in my early 40s, I went and got a doctor's exam. Okay, full makeup on stuff. Came back a few weeks later. Doctor was a friend of mine too. I went in his office in one of the rooms. I'm sitting there waiting for him to come in. True story. I'm around 42, 44. He comes into the office, has this chart. He comes up to me. I know this guy. We've been to lunch a lot of times. He looks at me. He goes, Pastor Mike, I don't want to lose you. Kind of started as that for a doctor. I don't want to lose you. I go, what? He goes, I don't want to lose you. He goes, I'm going to show you some things, okay? I'm going to show you where your cholesterol is. I'm going to show you where your blood pressure is. I'm going to show you some other tests here. And he looked at me and says, I don't care if you serve God or not. You're going to have a stroke, ulcers, or something else is going to happen to you. You could serve Jesus with all your heart. And what you're doing to this body, I'm going to lose you. Now, if you want someone else to be a father to your kids, keep doing this. You want someone else to be the husband, keep doing this. But you keep going down this road, something's going to give. I don't want to hear that. Okay? And if you ask what I was doing in life, I was serving the Lord 100%. I was loving my church. Pastor Mike, I was there for the people. I was speaking. I was doing this, running over here to try to get a basketball game where my daughter's at, and doing this, and going 80 miles an hour, okay? Never missing on Sunday. Ask my people, Pastor Mike, I need Pastor. Oh, yeah, he's the best. He's right there. Working hard, dedicated, not quitting, okay? In the middle of my car, in the glove compartment thing there, were big bottles of Melanta that I would be swigging because of stuff in my stomach. But did I miss? I didn't miss a beat. I kept going, okay? In the name of God and everything else. Did I use all my vacation time up? Nope. Dedicated. 100%. I came home that afternoon. Walked in my house, sat down, my kids were outside playing, and my wife asked and said, hey, how'd the doctor's appointment go? I said, you really want to know? Yeah. What'd he say? We were sitting on the couch, I said, he said he didn't want to lose me. He didn't want to lose me. He said, I'm going to lose you. He said, I'm setting up for a stroke or something else and all this other stuff. And I began to cry. I go, this is insane. I love being a pastor. I love my call. I love my people. I like being a dad a lot. This is absolutely insane. Insane. 3 days later, I had to board a jet to go speak on the East Coast, which I did. I had a change in Dallas planes. True story. I get off the plane and walk it to my next plane. Going through the terminal there, Dallas, going down, and on the walls they have all these posters advertising stuff. And I'm walking by, and here's this big poster. You know what it said? I didn't think it could happen to me. A picture of a man, a stroke. It happened. And I'm looking at this, I go, you gotta be kidding. This is insane. Okay? Turn, if you would, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to show you a portion of Scripture, Philippians 3. And then I'm going to wrap it up with your five things. Philippians 3. The book of Philippians, it's, I think I once said this when I preached here years ago. The book of Philippians only has four chapters, friends. It's, in my opinion, the 66th book, it's the best book in the Bible. There's nothing like the book of Philippians. I'm going to tell you, whatever you deal with, go to Philippians, you'll find something to speak to you. There's something about this book, Philippians. The words, the way it was written, it's all there. This is my book of Philippians. This is it in the Bible. I'm telling you the truth. There's nothing like this book. If you want to study something, just study Philippians. Watch how it speaks to you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to what Paul says. A sermon title, what do you value the most? Listen to him. And he's writing to a young church at Philippi who he loves so much. This is a neat young church. It's not like the church at Corinth or things like that. This is just a neat, neat young church. And he's sharing his heart. And he says this, Philippians 3, verse 7. Listen to his words. Do you know whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ? What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. You know, I've lost a lot of things. But, you know, I consider them rubbish right now. You know what Paul's basically saying? He says, you know, as I think about my life, I'm going to tell you something. When I was in my 20s, 30s, whatever, there were things I was holding on to. They were the most important things in my life. I mean, this is worth everything. I'm going for it and all this. He said, as I got my life so right with God, and I looked at some of the things I was giving my time, my effort, my energy to, my money, my values. They're rubbish. Do you know I was giving a lot of my life to rubbish? And the word rubbish means manure. This stuff I thought smelled the best, was worth the best. It was manure. And I was giving my time, my effort, my money, and I was going, hip, hip, hooray, ain't nothing more important than this. It was insane. And now, as I get my life right with God, this stuff, go ahead. You want, keep it. I don't need it. It's not the most important thing, like I thought. I was holding on to it. But I found Christ. Watch this. Verse 10, I love this. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to share in his suffering. I want to become like him in his death. I want to attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, I want to be spiritually alive. That verse 10, I want to know Christ. The word know means intimate. Intimate. I want to be so intimate with God. It's him. It's me. 100%. No one knows me better than my wife. No one. You want to know the type of man I am? Go ask her. You want to know about my ups, my downs, my ins and outs? No one knows me better than my wife. And that's what Paul's saying. I want to know Christ so intimate. Now watch this. This is so cool. Verse 12. Have I already obtained all this? No. Am I full grown? No. But I tell you something. I press on. I pursue that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I tell you, man, I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus. Now listen to these words he says to him. Verse 15, all of us who are mature, you should think like this. And if on some point you think differently, God will make it clear to you. Now, verse 16. Only let us hold true to what we have already obtained. What do you value the most? What is the things that are worth the most to you? As you come up with five, does your life really depict that is true value and worth in that? you talk to that sophomore high school girl about making the Olympics, and she puts that as one of the five, she will prove it's one of the five. Doesn't have to be one of yours, but it's one of hers. Now, what are they to you? What did you put? I'll tell you my five. And I'm going to tell you why I do five. Five, to me, represents like this hand, the four fingers and the thumb. And I grab on to these five. And these are five I don't want to let go. These mean so much to me. And I keep looking at my hands, and every year I look at the five. Are they really in there? Or is it really four and something else has replaced one? And there's been times, yes, it's true, something has replaced one. And I'm lying to myself. And I can't do that. What are the five? Here are my five, real quick. Number one, and it's no in order of importance, just telling you things. The five things, see if you even came up with any of these, because some of these we should all have. One of them is health. Health means a lot to me. I don't want to be the strongest guy. I'm going to say I could lift 400 pounds. I don't care about that. But health. This is the body. This is the body of a grandpa. This is the body of a husband. This is the body of a father. This is the body of a brother. This is the body of a friend. And if this goes down the tubes, I got news for you. So does grandpa and the husband and everything else. If you do not have your health, you're going down a road that's very challenging. Health. Not to have the perfect body. Everybody goes, wow, look at that physique or whatever. Health. That means a lot to me. What am I doing? Am I walking? How do I eat? I don't care if you think I'm muscular or not. That's not the issue. It's health. Number two is my wife, my marriage. That means a lot to me. If my Valentine's car is apologetic in 2-3 days, then something's wrong with me, okay? I'm apologetic to the person who means the most to me, that I bonded and said vows to, and that I don't have time for. Something's wrong. Okay? So one of my values is my relationship. I've been married now 38 years. Okay? And I hope I got 38 more. Fine with me. I love her, she loves me, and we're in this thing together. There's no one else's hand I'd rather hold than her. I love with all my heart. Someone once said, you know, there's a lot of people who have affairs. Think you'll ever have an affair or anything? I go, no. They go, boy, you sure answer that quick and cocky. I go, no, it's true. Not cocky, it's true. I love my wife with all my heart. I'm not going to do anything to taint that. You can take that to the bank. Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see, and I'll win. Okay? It's a way, it means a lot to me, my wife. Same with her for me. Our love is pure and holy, one for another. And I live it out. And my Valentine's card, and I got it already. You can go look in the car if you want to read it. The hardest thing about me picking up my Valentine's card, and I'm not patting myself on the back. You know what the hardest thing is? I got to find a card that's not apologetic. That's pretty hard. I've been to Target, CVS, different places. And most of them, it's like, but that's not me. I go, hey, that's pretty good. That's still in there. So my health, my wife. Next, my family. My family. Well, isn't your wife, my marriage, started with that. And now it's my family, my daughters. I got daughters 34 and 31. I know I don't look that old, but I do. I have daughters 34, 31. I'm a grandpa. I know I don't look like a grandpa. I'm a grandpa. I love it. Not better grandpas than me. There's not better many better dads than me. Am I perfect? No, but I'm committed to it. They're still my girls. 34, 31, they'll always be my girls. One is married, one lives in New York. You could be married, you're still my girl. You'll always be my daughter. You could be married with seven kids and I'm happy for you, you're my daughter and I'm your father. And I'll always be your father. And I'll cherish that with all my heart. From the first time I held you, to the time I took you for donuts when you're in kindergarten, to now that you're 31, I gotta take a jet to visit you in New York. You're my daughter. And you know my love is true for you. And I prove it. My family. You ask my grandkids what kind of grandpa and grandma they have. And it has nothing to do with, well, they buy me a lot of toys at Target. That's secondary. You ask what they mean to us and them to us. Next, I got health. I got my marriage. I got my family. I got my relationship with God. And I don't tell you that as a pastor. Forget this pastor bit. My relationship with God. That gives me meaning to everything. And it's more than going to church on a Sunday. That's very secondary. It's my relationship with God. I love him with all my heart. I don't tell you that as a pastor. I love him with all my heart. Everything else is secondary compared to my relationship with God, because that gives me meaning for everything I do in life. That helps me through the Spirit of God to check where I'm doing wrong, and I do wrong. And I try to get it back here, my relationship with God. I had a couple of dreams about heaven, and they were really real. And one day I'll tell you some of them, but I remember once waking up from a dream, and next day I had to go do a funeral. Well, I did the funeral memorial service. You ever been to funeral memorial service? You go to the graveyard cemetery, and we had part of the ceremony there. Then the family's standing around. I'm standing around for a while. And I just sort of look at some of the grave markers, okay? I don't know if you've ever done that. And I'm on these grave markers. It says the name and the date, born 1925-1987. Then under there might say a beloved sister, mom, grandpa. You know, they would say some phrase. And I was looking at these, and I was wondering, what is a beloved mom? I never met her, but it said that, okay? I remember I came home that night. My kids gone to bed, and we're getting ready for bed. And I asked my wife, I said, I got to share with you what happened today at Rose Hills. I did the service. I did, and I said, hey, I've been giving this some thought. I was looking at these grave markers, and can I tell you what I would like you to put on my grave marker if I die before you? And she looked at me like, man, you're having a long week, aren't you? No, it's not a long week. It's a good week, but do you mind if I tell you what to put on my grave marker? And she goes, okay, what do you want? I go, under the name and all that, could you just put one phrase? A man of God. Just put that. If you could put a man of God, then I guess I'm a beloved husband, right? I guess I'm a beloved dad. I guess I'm ethically sound, if I'm a man of God. True story, 2 weeks later, I have this dream. I died, okay? I'm up there in the clouds, the beyond, and I'm with the Lord. I really didn't see him saved, but I know I'm with him, and he's talking to me. He said, hey, they got done with your funeral service and everything, and you know, they show you where your grave marker and everything is. You want to see it? I go, yeah. Okay, and so we sort of zoomed in like a camera, and it's zooming closer and closer, and then I see Michael Slater. I go, oh man, and it's zooming closer. The date was blurry, thank God. I tell you right now, it was blurry, okay? But then I see Michael Slater. I'm trying to read 19, and I couldn't, sort of blurry. Then under that, it said, a man of God. That's it. my relationship with God is true. I tell you about Philippians. This isn't from 80 sermons I gave in Philippians. There's a lot more than that. I love them with all my heart. So my five things are my health, my relationship with my wife, my family, God. And you know what my last one is? You might not guess it. It's not the 280Z. My last one is my ministry. What God wants to do with me. Not being a minister. My ministry. How I pray for people. What do you want from me? How can I encourage? Is it speaking? Is it just having a hamburger with someone and talking with them? My ministry. As a pastor, is it going to a basketball game and rooting this high school kid on? It's my ministry. Take me and use me. How? To write books? You want me to write a book? May I write a book? But it's a lot more than that, my ministry. And that means a lot, whether I'm a pastor or I'm semi-retired now. It's still ministry, and I want to be used by Him. In my life, I hold on to these. I do not make New Year's resolutions. We break most of those. But every year, I think about what is of value and worth to me. In some years, it ain't there. One or two is missing. And I got to correct myself. What about you? I dare you. You go home. You come up with five. And are you really doing it? And if you're not, you want those five to be true, then do something about it. Because what you hold in your hand there really should be the most valuable things and worth the most in your life. Are they? Think with me. Let's go to prayer. Lord, you've given us a moment together here, and I thank you for it. We come in this Sunday, and we just do a lot of thinking, just sort of people together. We all have this thing called life. We all have a lot of years. We've lived a lot more maybe ahead of us. We all get in our cars and go home and go to homes in different cities, and the next day will be 24 hours, and one after that will be 24 more. And this week will be 7 days. What do we do with all this stuff? If people followed us around, what would they say? This is of value and worth to you? And hopefully we say, yes, it is. And I'm proud of it. Make us look at our lives. Make us like Paul saying, I want to run that race for God. I want to pursue Him. I want to know Him so intimate. And because of that, I will look at some things and I just don't need that anymore. That's rubbish. No. These are the important things. And I pray for people in this church today to grab onto those. In Jesus' name. If I could help you at all, like in this service, I'll be outside. I'd love to talk with you. I hope we've challenged you. I hope you look at Philippians as a beautiful passage of scripture. Out there, you'll see two books that I've written on encouragement and support called The Stretcher, became bestseller, and one called Who's Got Your Back? Looking at ourselves, others, and God for encouragement and purpose in life. It's good. You'll see yourself in some of these chapters. And if you like it, they're for purchase out there. If you don't have the money, I'll give it to you. I thank you and your church for allowing me to be part of your Sunday and to meet some of you for the first time. Okay? I hope our paths will cross again. Let's close.
Thank you.